Good evening, you're listening to Radio Yorkshire. I'm Billy Banks, and for the next 2 hours we'll be going through the biggest stories in the world of football. Joining me tonight is the chain-smoking social theorist and utility man, Danny Parkinson. How you doing, mate?
Oh, good evening, mate. All is good.
Excellent, excellent. Hey, before we start, actually, I've got a really good stat for you. I've been bursting to tell you this all day.
Go for it.
You're a big fan of Alan Pardew, right?
Big fan.
Well, here you go, listen to this. If you were to total up Alan Pardew's points as both Newcastle boss and Palace boss this season, then FC Pardew would be 8th in the Premier League.
That is brilliant. I love that.
Good little stat. Also, in the studio with me, the all-knowing pseudo-Irish football maniac, Tom Feeney. How you doing, mate?
Oh, happy St. Patrick's Day, lads.
It's St. Patrick's Day today, isn't it?
Yay!
See, when you work as hard as me, you don't even remember these things are going on. Do you do anything tonight?
Couple of Guinnesses maybe, but the show, that's the main priority.
And then after the show?
Well, we'll wait and see.
Are you able to have a couple of Guinnesses? Because I thought when the Irish all got together, one becomes 15.
We'll see.
We're not supposed to advocate heavy drinking on this show.
No.
Shall we tell everyone what's coming up instead? First of all, as we always do, let's just have a bit of a look back at the big footballing news stories of the day. We do that every week because, let's face it, there's always lots of things happening in the world of football.
Oh, yeah.
Tom, before we start, I just need to have a word with you before we start the show properly. Stop fidgeting. Listen,
we're ready.
My headphones.
He fiddles every time the mic goes up as well. Like, he stops when it goes down.
It's like recording a show on a windy day outside, isn't it? That's what it sounds like. Are you ready to go? Should we start again?
Yeah.
Anyway, so, big match for Bradford last night against Reading. This tends to happen, doesn't it? A side goes on a magical cup run and the bubble well and truly bursts. And that happened last night against Reading.
Thankfully, that's what happened last night.
Thankfully.
Right. I'm happy that Bradford City have gone out.
I think it's ridiculous.
A good thing for the team.
What?
Because now they can push on for playoffs and for championship football.
Oh, you're not in that camp, are you? I can't be doing with this because a lot of people... for those who didn't see the match last night, it was 3-0 in front of the BBC cameras to Reading.
They were 2-0 up.
They were 2-0 up within 9 minutes. Not really a result for the romantics. I think, to be fair, Reading were by far the better team. They had rested all the players pretty much at the weekend.
Yeah.
They were a lot sharper. Hal Robson-Kanu, Gareth McCleary and Jamie Mackie with the goals. A red card for Philip Moraes as well. Sort of insult to injury a little bit. So it really was what Bradford fans wouldn't have wanted, a convincing defeat. This is a common... There's sort of two camps in this, isn't there? People who want to, you know, win a cup at any cost and doesn't matter what happens to league form because you have the memory of a great day out and win the cup and all the days out leading up to the cup final. Or you have the fans who aren't bothered about the cup at all and want to get promoted or do well in the league. And you're in the second camp, aren't you?
I'd say I was in the second camp. I mean, don't get me wrong, I think the cup run's good. I think that the Bradford going down Stamford Bridge and doing what they've done, that is the magic of the FA Cup. And now, for me, the magic of the FA Cup is dead for this year. It's over. Bradford are out. But they were playing Reading. They lost, fine. But Bradford have started to slip a bit in the league. And everyone can back me up on that because the stats are there. They've started to slip in the league. They're at the playoffs. So they've got some games in hand. They can make up some ground now because it's happened to Bradford this year. It's happened to Sheffield United this year with the League Cup. Remember, it happened to Millwall a few years ago when they went in the FA. It does damage teams because they're playing more games. Even if you did this, when they went out of the League Cup a few years ago, they went out about the same time as they have now with the FA Cup.
Well, it's an earlier competition, isn't it,
League Cup? That's it, yeah. So what that means... Even though they got to the final, they could still push on for promotion.
And they got promoted.
Exactly.
From League Two last time. So surely, Tom, in a way, it's a good thing they're not in the FA Cup anymore because they can concentrate on getting that League One, which is a dreadful league, by the way.
I think two things. First of all, you know, they've been in a bit of a false position with the FA Cup because they've had a lot of injuries and a lot of the players are starting to return now. The likes of James Hansen have missed about 6-7 games where it's just been a case... It happens to sides. You get 5 or 6 players that just get injured all at the same time. It just happens in football. I think Bradford City will be disappointed on two counts. One, they're out. And I think even if you don't want to get to the final, it's the fact that you're 90 minutes away from Wembley. You can go there. It's, you know, going to the home of English football, even for just that one day to face Arsenal. Let's face facts, Arsenal clear favourites, would be clear favourites on a big pitch, on a great pitch. But I think the other thing that will disappoint Bradford City is the way they've gone out. They really went out with a whimper. They didn't have a chance last night. Reading completely bossed the 90 minutes. And in the end, really, it could have been 4 or 5 nil rather than Bradford City being unlucky.
Well, they've still got plenty to play for, Bradford, as we're just discussing, a ninth in the table. They're only 3 points off the playoffs. That's easily made back up over the rest of the season. It's a fair old battle, though. It's Sheffield United in fifth at the moment. Barnsley are in sixth. Doncaster, they're battling also. Another Yorkshire side battling for that top six. There's realistically only fifth and sixth available now in the playoffs. I think the other teams are a bit too far ahead. And like we said earlier, when they got to the League Cup final 2 years ago, they did get promoted, so the omens are all there. And their manager, Phil Parkinson, he was, well, even though it was difficult for him to be, quite upbeat after the match last night.
No team in our league, apart from Sheffield United early in the season, has had the high-profile games we've had to contend with, and it is very, very difficult. And but with the lads have kept going terrifically well. We find ourselves in a challenging position, and we've got a chance to push on, and we intend to do that. We're going to give it everything we've got. The lads, as soon as they came in the dressing room, were saying it themselves. Right, come on, we've got to go again now, Saturday, and really, really try and get back into that playoff zone. And I believe we've got the quality to do that. And we're going to just give it everything we've got, like we always do. You know, there's players who've come in the team over the last few weeks who've looked fresh and enthusiastic, and maybe a few of those are going to get chances again at the weekend.
And they didn't help our cause.
Yeah, no, the two goals in 12 minutes knocked the stuffing out of us, if I'm honest. We came up against a team who played exceptionally well on the night. We got off to a poor start, and we found it difficult to respond. But, you know, we've got to take immense pride in what we've achieved in the competition. We're disappointed to go out at the quarter-final stage, but we've got some terrific memories from the FA Cup this year. When you're a team from the division we're in and you keep coming up against higher league opposition, there is always that day where it could go wrong for you and you don't start the game as well as you should and get punished like we did tonight. So credit to Reading, they were the better side. They're a strong, powerful team who are probably in a false position in the Championship with the squad they've got. But we move on for the last 11 league games of the season.
Phil Parkinson, Bradford manager, speaking after that loss to Reading in the FA Cup quarter-final replay last night. Just one more thing to mention, really, from last night's match. The occasion marred quite substantially, actually, by some alleged racial abuse of Reading winger Gareth McCleary during the match. He was in the process of taking a corner when the situation arose in front of the Bradford fans at the Majeski Stadium. Police have confirmed a 36-year-old man from Bradford has been arrested and he's been bailed until mid-April, pending further inquiries. So, you know, I feel like every week we have one of these stories where there's a racist incident either on Twitter or in a crowd, and it's something that needs to be stamped out, but you can do all sorts of things. You can have education, you can have awareness campaigns, but it just takes one idiot, doesn't it? And that seems to be prevailing at the moment, that sort of attitude.
That's it. Like I was saying, it happens every week now where we end up talking about this, and quite frankly, I'm sick of it being constantly in the news. This needs to be something that is stamped out, and I know that it's very easy to say that, but it is something that could disgrace the national game. And, you know, I just can't get over this constant happening. You know what I mean? It's just disgraceful. Yeah, it really disgraceful. Is.
Before we move on to other matters, I've just got the Arsenal team in front of me. They're playing Monaco tonight in the south of France. They've got to score 3 unanswered away goals to have any chance of reaching the quarterfinals. But here's their team. They've gone very attacking. It's Ospina in goal, the back four of Bellerin, Mertesacker, Koscielny and Monreal. It's hard to really ascertain what the midfield's going to be, but here's the names for you. Coquelin, Cazorla, Ozil, Sanchez and Welbeck with Giroud up front. So it looks like Cazorla and Ozil will probably play quite central with Coquelin anchoring the midfield, and then a pretty pacey and fearsome attacking three of Sanchez, Welbeck and Giroud up front. I think they've got a chance of scoring 3 goals. It's just whether they let a couple in the back door as well, Tom.
Yeah, definitely. I think the one weakness I'd say is with Mertesacker, you've got Anthony Martial for Monaco, this incredibly quick player. Obviously, the jokes about Mertesacker and how slow he is getting forward. So I think it's a case that while they may get a couple of goals, Wenger, not a big fan of playing Welbeck and Giroud today. He's having to go for it. I feel like they're going to get a few. I think they'll concede a few as well, so I still think Monaco are going to be going through.
Yeah, Monaco like to play on the counter, so it plays into their hands, really, having a team coming to their own muckheap and wanting to score all their goals.
Definitely. We saw that in the last game, and I saw this happening. As you said, Anthony Martial, he's a fantastic player. He's very, very quick. And they've got a lot of quality up front. And as we saw when Arsenal were just throwing bodies forward, you know, I think this will be a humiliation tonight. I think Arsenal will... I think they'll fall apart at the back. I can't see them being able to cope.
That match kicks off at 7:45. We'll have a bit more on that just before kick-off. Let's move on to Sunderland then. And they've appointed Dick Advocaat as their new manager until the end of the season. The former Netherlands coach takes over a day after the sacking of Gus Poyet. He was sacked after just one victory in 12 league games. And his last game, of course, was that dreadful drubbing at home to Aston Villa. 4-0. Tim Sherwood, the genius mastermind in that victory, of course. Their chairman, Ellis Short, says, "We have one aim only now, to climb the table, and everyone's fully focused on the task ahead." And Advocaat said he can't wait to get started. He says Sunderland is a big club. He's very much looking forward to the challenge, and we must now concentrate on Saturday as a priority. He will be in charge for that game on Saturday. I believe they play West Ham, and I've been doing a bit of research on the man, and here's all you need to know. Casual football fans probably best remember the Dutchman for his time at Rangers, where he won two league titles, two Scottish Cups and a League Cup. And those were the days when both Celtic and Rangers were half decent. But dig a little deeper and you come across one of the most well-travelled and interesting CVs in European football. The 67-year-old's taken on 18 managerial jobs over a 28-year career. In that time, he's won a league title with PSV Eindhoven in Holland, the Russian League crown with Zenit St. Petersburg, and coached in Germany with Borussia Mönchengladbach. He also has a wealth of experience at international level, taking charge of his native Netherlands twice, fellow European nations Belgium, Serbia and Russia, South Korea and even the United Arab Emirates. It's fair to say he had mixed success in those roles though. He lasted barely 4 months in his last job as Serbia manager. He's never managed in English football before, but brings a level of experience most bosses can only dream of. Can the little general command and conquer the Premier League and lead Sunderland's successful battle against relegation? There you go. All you need to know about Dick Advocaat there. Summed it up perfectly in about much quicker than we'd managed to do it on this show.
Yeah.
Question I've got for you, Tom Feeney.
Yes.
Is this the right thing to do? Sack a manager so close to the end of the season and hope you have the old dead cat bounce sort of thing.
Well, I think that's what you're hoping, is that you get the honeymoon period. I think you look at last season, it was about this time last year where Gus Poyet said, will miracles happen? We'll need a miracle to get out of this. I feel they need a miracle now. I really do. You look at the likes of Burnley, who are below them, and the feel-good factor they have. You look at Sunderland, and just the fact that they spent so much time persuading Conor Wickham to sign that new contract. What has he done, really,
nothing.
In the last
Absolutely
4 months?
Nothing.
Stephen Fletcher, £14 million they paid Wolves for. He scored 4 goals in 14 months. I mean, just really scary, some of the stats. Jermaine Defoe, Gus Poyet, that was the signing that he thought would save their season. Again, you can argue he's not done much.
Not at all,
and
no.
I just think, Dick Advocaat, the hope is they're going to get this guy in, he's going to have new ideas, new philosophy, and they can just get 3 or 4 wins on the bounce, it'll move them away. If they can't, I really am worried for them, because I just feel the likes of Burnley, they're going to all these grounds, they're not worried. Sunderland are going to these grounds. The home fans, when you look at half-time against Aston Villa, and you're 4-0 down, and I'd say 3/4 of the home fans have gone.
Yeah.
It just shows you that this is a club, it's got all the signs of a club that is sinking, and sinking at a very alarming rate.
And the only fans that remained until the end of the 90 minutes were trying to beat the traffic. That's the only reason they were still there. It can go one of two ways, this, really. You can have a bit of a Sherwood factor, where they've won 3 on the bounce, got to an FA Cup semi-final, and there's that feel-good factor, they've scored a few goals, have actually doubled their away goals total in one game. Or it can go the Felix Magath route at Fulham, which happened last season, and they just plummeted, and it was just dreadful, and they got worse in the Championship, and that's the way it's been for them. Which way do you see it heading, Demi?
Well, this is what I was thinking, because if you remember back 2003 when Sir Trevor Brooking took over at West Ham, They did gain a large... I mean, they still got relegated.
They nearly survived.
They nearly survived, that's it. They brought a lot of points, but it was just too little too late. I don't know if you're going to have the same thing this year. You've got teams such as Burnley, who, while they have a very tough running, have seen that they can take points from the top four. Leicester, you know, I imagine they're going to be picking up a few points along the way. I doubt QPR will. I think they'll finish bottom. But you've still got quite a few teams with a lot of quality down there. It's going to be the toughest, probably the toughest year to come in and do this. But like I say, if it was like Sunderland, like Aston Villa, like West Brom, a lot of quality in those squads, it just takes, sometimes it's just a different manager to bring it out of them.
Yeah, and hopefully that'll be the case for Sunderland. Avakar is there until the end of the season. Names already being mentioned if you've been on Ozchecker today. Sam Allardyce sounds like the perfect sort of candidate for Sunderland. Looks like he's on his way out of West Ham. Paul Clement, the Real Madrid assistant, he's done a lot of good coaching work at some huge clubs, mainly with Carlo Ancelotti. He could be a good shout, but big task in your first job in management, I think. Steve McLaren's been in the Premier League before, obviously being England manager and doing well at Derby. Eddie Howe at Bournemouth, a bit like Steve McLaren for me, I think, a manager who, why would he leave right now or in the summer from those clubs? And Michael Laudrup, who did a good job at Swansea for a bit. So it'll be interesting to see what happens at Sunderland in the summer, whether they go up or whether they stay up, I should say, or go down. I've got a bit of other Sunderland news that's coming this afternoon. Adam Johnson's had his bail extended. That's after his arrest on suspicion of having sexual activity with a girl under the age of 16. He's due to report back to police on the 23rd of April and remains suspended by the club. He's training individually with a coach until then, so it seems like it'll be a while before we find out the outcome of Adam Johnson. Some more cheery news. Brendan Rodgers, never keep him out of the media for too long, whether they're doing well or badly, Liverpool. They scraped a 1-0 victory over Swansea last night. I saw the game. I thought Liverpool, you know, they really did grind out a result. I thought Swansea were a bit unlucky not to maybe an equaliser during that game. And Brendan says now Liverpool can finish second in the Premier League. Thoughts?
I have said that looking at the league table now, it could be possible that Manchester City drop out of the top four simply because of the fact that I could see them imploding. But I don't see the Brendan Rodgers style being able to challenge to get up to second. It's possible mathematically, and it would be possible if Liverpool had the same team that they did last season. But I just don't see this happening whatsoever. And it's just another one of those Brendan Rodgers, did he just actually say that type moments where I can't understand him. Like you say, last night, for me, they were very, very lucky with that goal from Henderson. It was a very lucky goal, and for a lot of the time I thought, they're not going to score
it. We all count, though, and at the end of the day, clean sheet, 3 points, and Henderson's
scored. Well, that's how they're going to take it, but it could have also been seen as a drab 0-0 draw if that goal hadn't gone in. And still, it showed for me a total lack of ambition from a Liverpool squad that are possibly one of the worst I've seen in some time.
But also the most informed team in Europe in 2015. They're finding a way at the moment. Brendan Rodgers is playing this dreadful-looking formation with this sort of box in midfield. There's like three at the back, Sturridge up front on his own with support coming in from sort of inverted wingers. It's a bizarre formation, a bizarre manager who says bizarre things. But they're getting the results, Tom. And this weekend, a huge game. Anfield, Manchester United, 1:30 kickoff on Sunday. Both sides, you know, you could argue not great seasons, but they're still in that mix for the top four. And with the way City have just seemed to be, you know, dropping points left, right and centre at the moment, you've got to argue that both teams are in a really good position to get in the top four, if not, you know, a bit higher.
Yeah, well, I think when you look at it, the game on Sunday really is going to be a case. I feel the winner of that is guaranteed top four football for next season. I think it's that big a game because the confidence it will breed. If Manchester United can go to Anfield and get a result, the confidence will be there. For Liverpool, they can beat Manchester United. They're one of their big rivals. I think with Liverpool, it's just a case the football they're playing is not attractive in the slightest, but they just keep getting the results. And I think that goal last night just summed up the luck that Liverpool have had over the last month. And I think that is something that a lot of teams that do well in the Premier League, they have to have it, and that is luck. So I feel that Liverpool and Manchester United have both got a great chance. I just feel that the winner of that game will definitely be in the top four. We'll have to wait and see. But I think, you know, for Arsenal, if you look at that, if they lost tonight, would that damage their confidence going out of the Champions League, or would it spur them on? Because that's all they'd have to play. play for. So, again, it's just one of them where it really does feel like Manchester City. I think they've done enough. I think they'll pick up a little bit now. I think they'll be in the top four. So it really, to me, feels like Arsenal, Man U, Liverpool, them three, two of them are going in. And, well, we'll wait and see.
As Napoleon said, yeah, topical. As Napoleon said, he'd rather give me a lucky general over a good general any day. And it seems that Brendan Rodgers and Louis van Gaal are lucky managers. If I was Arsene Wenger or Mauricio Pochettino or even Manuel Pellegrini at the moment, I'd be quaking in my boots looking at that top section of the Premier League table.
Well, to be honest, I prefer to see it as Chelsea, Arsenal, Manchester United, Liverpool and Manchester City leaving just because of how they treat Europe when they're in it. Yeah. Manchester United, Liverpool, Arsenal, Chelsea all have a history there. They ought to play in it. Manchester City aren't bothered. You know, what's the point?
They can't even fill the Etihad on Champions League night.
That's it. The fans don't care. There's no atmosphere there. So I think, you know, what's the point? You know, I think Pellegrini will go at the end of the year anyway. So, you know, I just... For me, I think that will be the ideal top four in terms of what's going to happen. However, I do see it being Liverpool, Arsenal or Manchester United missing out, probably with the emphasis on Liverpool, just in the way that forms. You know, if he could keep that form going, I might change my opinion of Brendan Rodgers. But I just don't see that form carrying on much longer.
Well, one thing's for certain, it's going to go right down to the end of the season. A couple of little shorts here, a few things that amuse me today. Northern Ireland, now we always joke about Northern Ireland, Scotland and Wales being a bit desperate for players. Well, they're that desperate this time, they've called up an injured player. Shane Ferguson, who's on loan at Rangers from Newcastle, he's basically had a serious knee injury for a while. He's only played twice for Rangers this season. Stuart McCall, the Rangers manager, says he's probably not going to play for the rest of the season. Yeah, that's not stopped Northern Ireland boss Michael O'Neill calling up to the Northern Ireland squad. So maybe some crosswires there. I don't know what's going on, but I'm sure that'll be resurrected and sorted out soon. And here's one for you, lads. The world's worst international team has won a match.
Hey!
They are Bhutan, the small landlocked country in South Asia near the Himalayas. They beat Sri Lanka 3-1. This is the Bhutan side, who were thrashed 20-0, not by Italy, not by France, not by Spain, by Kuwait 15 years ago. They got their first win for a while against Sri Lanka. And they're ranked 209 in FIFA's rankings. And pretty big story for them. That's in their World Cup qualifier. So you never know, they could be getting into the World Cup. If you want to find out any more, then Google Bhutan. But I can tell you, their population is 743,000, which is about the same as the city of Leeds.
I wouldn't surprise me if you saw them above the above England in the FIFA rankings before long.
Yorkshire's music and sports leader. We are Radio Yorkshire.
We're going to go around the Yorkshire clubs in this next half an hour on the bigger picture. But first of all, we're going to be focusing on Leeds United. They're taking on Fulham tomorrow night at Craven Cottage. A Fulham side who find themselves 20th in the Championship table, just 6 points above their relegation zone. I don't think anyone thought they'd be in this this state so late on in the season. Certainly not you, Tom Feeney. You wouldn't have expected Fulham to come down from the Premier League and struggle so badly.
£11 million said not. Ross McCormack, he was meant to be the saviour, really. He was meant to do, you know, get all the goals. And in all fairness, he scored 12 goals, which isn't too bad, but £11 million. And the fact that a lot of them have been cases where they've actually lost the game, he's scored when it's been a 3-1 defeat. You know, I just think it's been a really scary time for Fulham, because if you're looking at a team that, you know, if Wigan can pick up some form, if you're looking at the team most likely to go down, well, it's Fulham. And, you know, you look at Leeds United and the confidence they have, Fulham seem to be lacking some. You've got to think Leeds United have got a great chance tomorrow to go to London and get 3 points.
They've got Kit Simons in charge, a bit of a legend at Fulham. Alan Kirbishley's come back to the club in some sort of director of football superior role. He's been out of the game, really, for a long time. Is that something that's going to improve their fortunes, do you think, or do you think it's a bit of a desperate plunge?
I think it could help them. I think that's the thing when you get a club legend in. You know, you were saying about Sir Trevor Brooking. He came in, did so well with West Ham. Kit Simons had that effect at the start with Fulham.
He did, yeah. There was a big upturn in form when he took over initially, wasn't there?
But I think the problem is you've got players running out of contract, and they've basically been told, your contract's not going to be extended. Look for another club. And you've got players who, don't...
Oh, sorry, just to cut in there. Koscielny's just hit the bar. I think there was an offside flag in there as well. Arsenal 0-0, chasing three away goals to have any chance of reaching the quarterfinals of the Champions League. Yes, it's... Koscielny is offside there as he meets... it's a Monaco player who hits the ball down.
That's controversial.
There. Very controversial. Monaco player heads the ball down. Koscielny's in his path. He hooks it onto the bar. Wouldn't have been a goal anyway, but Arsenal coming closer as they go for three goals in Monaco. Tom, I'm so sorry to butt in.
Let's talk Fulham again.
Let's go back to Fulham.
I just think you look at Alan Kerbishley, he's come in, and is it going to be a case that next season he's told, right, you've got the club, you're the manager now? Because I think that's the problem, though. They made a mistake in telling players your contract's not going to be renewed. Are you really going to give it 110% for a team that you're not going to be playing for next year? I don't think he will. So I think that could be the case for some of the players.
I think it should be pointed out as well that it's impossible to give 110%. The maximum they could give is 100%, Tom. Danny, you're a key part of our Leeds United production team here, and you see pretty much all the action. You know exactly what's going on with Leeds. It's a bit of a funny one because they're now 14 points above the relegation zone and 14 points off the playoffs, the 13th bang on mid-table in the Championship. I suppose Neil Redfern's got a big job keeping his players motivated for different reasons to the Fulham players.
Well, that's exactly it. And one thing you've always got to remember with Leeds United is they've been, well, not to the same extent, but a bit like Wigan in the terms of their away form has been a lot better than the home form. They haven't been able to make Elland Road into a fortress like it should be. They've always been much better on the road. This is one thing it's going to be an interesting game.
You mean in the second half of the season here, don't you, since Redfern?
Yeah, just since it's Neil Redfern. I, like many other Leeds United fans, I much prefer to pretend that the Hockaday era didn't happen.
Just like a lot of football fans think there was no football before 1992.
And that's exactly it.
Premier League, yeah, of course. Yeah, they have improved a lot on the road under Neil Redfern, haven't they?
Yeah, exactly. And also, what you're going to get is a lot of players that will be wanting to prove their worth. I've said it many times that Redfern is the ultimate man for getting the players motivated. And I think he might be able to, but it's difficult for any manager to get them motivated. As we saw with the Watford game, Leeds went 2 ahead, then lost 3-2 in the second half. For me, that was purely Watford had stuff to fight for. And I think we'll see the same with Fulham. They'll want to get away from that sort of bottom of the Championship. They have stuff to fight for, and I think that may well be the edge that's needed between these two teams.
Tom, I should have brought my narrative klaxon along with me, because Ross McCormack and Matt Smith could start up front for Fulham tomorrow. That'd be pretty interesting.
Yeah, Matt, I saw Matt Smith sent a tweet out saying it'll be good to see some familiar faces. And
are there any left?
Well,
so much has happened since he left Leeds.
You know, you've got to feel sorry for Matt Smith. He joins Leeds United, does okay, goes to Fulham, and then doesn't play for Fulham for ages. Mm. Goes on loan to Bristol City.
Backs does the goals,
absolutely
doesn't
he? Brilliant. They wanted the loan extended. Fulham said no, we want him back. And then he's been a bit part player again, and he scored again in a loss recently. But I just think for Matt Smith, you know, he must be so frustrated that there are teams struggling for goals and yet he just isn't getting in that starting 11. And, you know, what kind of confidence boost is that? We can't get any goals, but you're still not going to be on the starting 11, mate. You know, just feel for him. And I just think tomorrow it's a big game for Fulham, massive game for Fulham. They'll be looking at that at home. Their home form's not been too bad. But, you know, I really do think Leeds United are going to get the 3 points.
Well, there you go. A couple of strikers will be desperate to get a couple of goals against their former club tomorrow night. It's Fulham v Leeds United from Craven Cottage. It's live. Full coverage starts at 7 p.m. here with Mark Wilson and Robbie Blake. And Mark Wilson's been speaking to the Leeds head coach, Neil Redfern, ahead of that game.
It has been a tough time, hasn't it, with your injuries and you're having to shuffle people around and play them in different positions. Yeah. You must be pleased with how they've reacted.
I have, yeah, because, you know, and It probably a little bit more apparent on Saturday against Forest rather than the game against Wigan, you know, because you go away from home and the home team's expected to make the running. We went there and we were solid, and when we got a chance we took it. You know, and it was a typical smash and grab away performance, and you know, and we did it well, to be fair. But at home you're expected to make the running and have a little bit more of the play, and you know, and I think that I think the boys that have come in have done well. You know, Stevie Morrison is not a natural right sider. You know, he's a big centre forward, obviously, but he's done it. He's done brilliant because he's put a great shift in for us. He's worked up and down the line. He's given us a focal point to go into when we've got to go from back to front. He keeps Billy in front of goal, which is what we're looking for. You know, and these are things that sometimes at this point of the season you've got to shuffle around and. you know, and make things work.
You say quite a lot about respecting and understanding the league that you're in now. Are you surprised that Fulham are where they are? Do you think they've struggled to adapt to the Championship?
Well, I just think it's a typical example of how unforgiving this division is. You know, I don't think perhaps Fulham have done a right lot wrong in just that they've got caught up in, you know, some tough games perhaps, and you know, and the games have run away with them. You know, and they've ended up being on a bad run rather than being on a good run. They had a little bit of a mini revival. You know, I think when they beat us down at Elland Road, they went on a bit of a run and they got themselves in mid-table. And they were looking like they were going to go and, you know, breeze their way out of it. And, you know, and like I said, the division obviously has caught up with them again. And that's probably no fault of Fulham's. That's just the nature of this division.
You're a different side, though, aren't you, to the one that lost at Elland Road earlier in the season?
Yeah, I mean, we were right in the middle of that flux where we were thinking about changing and... you know, we had to do something at that point. So, you know, I mean, we're obviously a different animal now in the way that we play. But I still do think it's got our DNA, you know, running through it. I still think we try and play. We're strong in central midfield areas, so we try and get the ball in there. We try and work it through that area because we know we've got the players in there to go and hurt teams. But you have to adapt. You have to adjust and you have to adapt.
Have you considered putting any of the youngsters in now you're on a bit of a run again?
Yeah, I mean, I always look at the youngsters. I mean, obviously, I know them inside out and I know what they're capable of. And there's going to be a time, you know, for each individual one, when's the right time for them. And we've got four of them in at this moment in time as regards, you know, Byron, Cook, Mowat and Taylor. But like I said, we've had Phillips on the bench, Dawson's been round it, Walters has been round it. And I know that when the time is right, you know, that these lads will step up and they'll do well because, you know, they're the future.
Yeah, the next one's on the rank, so to speak. Looking just finally at Fulham then, any prospects of the lads coming back that have been out?
Well, we're not far off with... I mean, obviously, I don't want to say which ones, but we're not far off with some of them. And you know, if we can get them back, it'll help us. I'll put it that way.
Leeds head coach Neil Redfern speaking ahead of the match away at Fulham tomorrow night. Just update you on some of the big matches that are happening tonight. It's still Monaco 0, Arsenal 0 in the south of France. Arsenal, of course, chasing those three goals. They've come close a few times, but yet to break the deadlock, but still plenty of time left for them. They have got a very, very attacking side out tonight with Welbeck, Giroud, Sanchez, Ozil, Cazorla all on the pitch. As Arsenal go close, there's chaos in the box and it goes out for a goal kick. Sheffield Wednesday are 1-0 down at Wolves. Bakary Saka with a goal, but the other side in Sheffield, Sheffield United, they've scored their 1-0 up at Walsall. Jose Baxter with the goal. So plenty of matches going on tonight, and we'll keep you updated here on Radio Yorkshire as the goals go in. Back to Leeds then, lads. That big game against Fulham tomorrow night. Let's get your predictions. Danny, you first.
Well, when they had that result against Notts Forest and took a point, I thought, actually, that's a great result, you know, to take that point away from a side brimming with quality that just hasn't been able to hit the full pedal this season. So, you know, I can see this being a Leeds win, to be honest with you, but not by much. I think, you know, that with Belushi being back, he's been very good in defence. They've got that settled back four now of Leeds. It's just problems actually creating the chances. So I'm going to see this as probably a 1-0 win for Leeds, even put it down to an Alex Mowat free kick.
Oh, well, he's been scored plenty of them this season, hasn't he, Tom?
I think Neil Redfern's made the point that his side can gain smash-and-grab victories, and I think they'll take another one of them. I think Fulham will throw everything at them, but like Danny was saying, they've got a settled back four now and they've got a very good goalkeeper as well. So I'm going to say Lewis Cook, and I'm going to go with 1-0. I think he'll get the goal.
Another 1-0. I'm going to go in the opposite direction to you two lads then. I think it's going to be one of those classic Championship matches where a side that's unbeaten in three, like Leeds, comes against a side that's got no win in three, and the reverse of what you expect happens. I think Fulham are going to win 2-1. I think Leeds are going to struggle from now until the rest of the season with motivation because they're safe and nowhere near the playoffs. But that's our predictions. That's just a quick reminder for you then. Tomorrow night, full live commentary of Fulham v Leeds from 7 o'clock here on Radio Yorkshire.
Yorkshire's music and sports leader. We are Radio Yorkshire.
Always the Sun, the Stranglers on Radio Yorkshire. And during that song, we made our way across the road to the bigger picture Working Men's Club because you can all rejoice. It's time for our Tuesday night football pub quiz. Now, unfortunately, the lovely Katie Childs couldn't be here with us tonight. She was our quiz master last week, did a brilliant job. It's a really good quiz. Who won that again, lads?
I can't remember. Don't think it matters, really.
One question.
It does matter. It was me.
What's that?
Which means I've won the last two. Pretty dominant. Let's see if I can keep it up. So, to make up for her absence, I believe she's in bed because she's a bit tired today, bless her. Tunes to start playing in the club.
I love this one.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of ABBA.
Three pints of bitter, please, Shelley. Cheers, love. So Katie has written up a quiz for us. And I'm not cheating, I promise. I have got the quiz questions in front of me. The answers are on a folded up sheet of paper behind it. So I genuinely, well, hopefully I'll know some of the answers, but I don't know what the actual answers are. So I'm in a position to be quiz master and quiz participant. Okay. For everyone playing at home, this is just for fun. There are no prizes, and the only prize is the glory of winning the quiz. It's 10 questions, and some of the questions will be nearest guess. Some of the questions will be, you know, you've got to get the right answer. You might get extra marks for a few answers. You never know. So get as many marks as you can. And after the quiz, tweet us your scores. Try and beat me, because I'm always the man to beat on this. Any more rules? That's about it, isn't it? Right, should we get started then?
Let's do it.
So, question one. You got your sheets ready, girls?
Sheets ready.
Excellent. You know, Chris, Danny?
Yeah, I'll have a port scratching. I'm on a dirty bulk.
Oh, nice. A dirty bulk. Yeah. I'm on my big shred.
Big shred.
Enough of that. Question one. Are you ready, boys?
Yes.
Liverpool and Manchester United are battling for a top four place.
Yep.
But who's the only player to have won silverware with both clubs?
Oh.
Liverpool and Manchester United are battling for a top four place. But who is the only player to have won silverware with both clubs? I think I know that. I'm just going to write that down.
I'm not sure about this one. That's a question mark next to it.
I will point out, lads, that, you know, being quizmaster and being in the quiz is difficult. So if you can fill in for me on the mic when I'm writing my answer, like you didn't just then. Right, are we all ready to move on to question two?
Yeah, ready when you are.
Question two. Name the seven clubs. Name the seven clubs which have played in the Premier League in every season since its inception.
Oh, I've got a couple here.
So,
It's hard to do. It's hard to do both, really.
Yeah, I feel I'm under a lot of pressure at work. Kate could have really helped us out. Here.
Right. Now, I know what you mean. The thing is, I know there's a few, but I don't know every single one because there are a few clubs that have been there so that you think they're going to be there even longer. If you know what I mean.
I've got six already.
I've got six. It's the seventh one.
Name the seven clubs that you played in the Premier League in every season since its inception.
Is this one point per or?
This is point per answer. I'm going to leave that just for now because we do the answers obviously after a short break. But I've got six. I'm quite happy with that. I tell you what, 1 point for each one, and then you know you've put your graft in, you get your points for it. Question three: we saw Bradford City at knockdown of the FA Cup last night. However, they have won the title once before. What year did they win? And for a bonus point, who did they beat? A nearest guess gets it for the year. Do you know this?
Yeah, I know this one.
Oh,
I had to do an assignment on it when I was like in school.
Because
obviously it's Bradford. It's easy enough to remember because they only have won it once.
I think I've got the decade.
I've no idea.
No idea really.
I know it is this one.
Could be Danny Parkinson.
I think I've got this one.
Right, question four. Wayne Rooney made the headlines with his knockout goal celebration as United won 3-0 against Tottenham. But how long has he been at Manchester United?
That's an interesting one. I'm trying to think of his age now. I'm going to have to do long division.
Wayne Rooney, how long has he been a Manchester United player?
Long division. Oh, no, I've got that wrong. I haven't done long division in a long time, to be fair.
I don't think anyone. I mean, once you've finished your GCSEs, who does long division? You just get a calculator.
No one does. Yeah.
Exactly. Question five. There's only three managers in the Championship that were appointed earlier than 2013.
Wow.
Blimey. She stitched us up here, hasn't she?
She did say before she left, this is a lot more difficult than last week.
And it was relatively difficult last time, wasn't it?
But this is
before
really
2013, did you say?
Yeah.
I've got one. I can't think of anyone else.
I've got one.
I think I've got two.
I've got two.
Can you just move that screen back down, Danny? Right, if you're cheating...
I'm not cheating.
Danny's cheating, everyone.
Oh, you can't call that cheating. I was using what's around me. I'm like a scavenger. What's his name? Does the specialist. He's a survivor.
Bear Grylls?
That's the one.
You're nothing like Bear Grylls. Can you imagine you in the jungle? You can't walk upstairs without being out of breath. Imagine running through the jungle trying to catch your lunch.
But I tell you what, I'm the only one here that'd survive off of spam.
Yeah, I'd rather die than spam. Still 1-0 to Arsenal in Monaco, by the way. Question 6. Arsenal in Champions League action tonight, as I just alluded to. But which English club has won the title the most times? Which English club has won the Champions League the most amount of times?
Which English club do you say?
I presume that Katie meant the European Cup and not the Champions League.
That's what I'm thinking now. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
We'll find out when we'll be honest, won't we?
This could be a write-up of a question, this.
Question 7. Which is the only English league club whose name contains no letters which can be coloured in? I have no idea.
That is amazing. I've lost breath through that laugh. That was superb.
Which is the only English league club whose name contains no letters which can be coloured in? Right, okay. Question 8. What was Leeds United's home ground, Ellen Road, previously known as? I'm in big trouble. Question 8. What was Leeds United's home ground, Ellen Road, previously known as? I have no idea.
Oh, I know this one.
No, you don't.
I know this one.
You do not.
I do.
You don't know this. Seriously?
Yeah.
I have absolutely no idea. I'm sure there's plenty of listeners screaming at the radio right now.
No, that there is. There is, because there are certain teams that had to play there when their original ground was being refurbished.
Yeah. Right.
So okay. I know.
So Bradford?
Maybe.
Question 9. Which famous team were originally known as Newton Heath?
Oh, here we go.
Easy.
That's a good one. I used to live in
that city, not very far away from Newton Heath.
Oh, yeah. I like that.
And finally, this is one for Tom. Question 10.
Great.
What year did Guiseley enter the Yorkshire League?
I'll have a guess.
I don't even know what the Yorkshire League is.
Is this some sort of
peasant football league?
This is a long time ago. It's since disbanded. So it's a long time ago.
Which year did Guiseley enter the Yorkshire League? I haven't got a clue, so I'm going to put that. I've done really badly tonight. I know that. Anyone want a question repeating?
All 10, please.
All 10? No, I can't do that.
No, I think I'm all right.
You're all right? Okay, yeah. So what we'll do is we'll play a song and then we'll be back with the quiz answers. And we're back. We're back in the Radio Yorkshire, the bigger picture, working men's club. Quiz time answers. A tough one from Katie this week. And I've now flipped over the answer piece of paper. So we need to blast through these guys. Are you ready? Are you ready for the answers?
Oh, ready.
Okay, here we go. Question 1. Liverpool and Manchester United are battling for a top 4 place, but who's the only player to win silverware with both clubs? The answer was Michael Owen.
Which
I've got. What about you boys?
I went for Pellegrini on that one.
I put Paul Ince.
No.
I didn't have a clue for that one.
Question 2. Name the 7 clubs which are playing in the Premier League in every season. It was Manchester United, Liverpool, Arsenal, Chelsea, Tottenham, Everton.
Yes.
Yep. Aston Villa.
Yes, Chelsea was the only one I didn't get.
I got 7. Did you get 7, Tom?
I got six.
Not a bad effort. Remember, that's a point for each one. Question 3. We saw Bradford get knocked out of the FA Cup last night. They have won the Cup before. What year did they win it? For a bonus point, who did they beat?
It was 1911, it was Newcastle.
Yes, it was. Yeah. I've got 38 in Sunderland, so I get 0.
24 in Bolton for me.
So we both get nil trois. Question 4. Wayne Rooney made the headlines at the weekend with his knockout goal celebration. How many years has he been at Manchester United? That was, of course, 11 years, which I got.
Yes, my long division works. Yes, I haven't got to work it out.
Question 5. You don't get an extra mark. It's not GCSE match. Question 5. There were only 3 managers in the Championship that were appointed earlier than 2013. It was Eddie Howe at Bournemouth, Mick McCarthy and Steve Evans at Rotherham. I got one.
I've got all 3.
I got 2.
I've got all 3.
Devastated. Question 6. Arsenal in Champions League action tonight, but which English club has won the most Champions League, European Cups?
Liverpool.
It was Liverpool. They've won it 5 times.
Happy days.
And which is the only English league club whose name contains no idea. It's Hull.
Oh.
None of us got that.
No.
The old Peacock Ground, question 8, was where Leeds United used to play.
Yes.
Danny got that, I didn't get that.
So I got the Peacock Pub, out of the word.
Manchester United were originally known as Newton Heath, so I get a point for that. And it was 1968 when Geisley got
Did you get
that?
Yes.
I put 64.
I didn't even put an answer.
So,
Quadrant.
Well, there you go. There's your quiz for tonight. Just had to rattle through them. Add up your scores, boys. I'm in big trouble here.
Oh, I think I've won this one.
Oh, no.
You two go first.
I'm just counting these up.
Remember, this is out of 10, so I've done very well.
It's not out of 10. Oh, right, okay, I see what you're doing there. Go on, Tom, what did you get?
11.
11, I got 11 as well. Danny?
14!
No!
14!
Disaster!
Parkinson is in the room!
It's an absolute disaster. So I've been knocked off my perch. I'm still winning 2. It's 2 to me, 1 to you, Danny.
Yep.
0 to you, Tom. Come back, sort yourself out, and do better next week. For less than a minute to go of the bigger picture. Good show tonight, boys.
Thanks for having me on board.
Arsenal continuing to chase those 3 goals in Monaco. They're still 1-0 up, but they've got over half an hour to get those 2 goals, so hopefully can do that. Manchester City in the new camp against Barcelona. They need at least 2 goals tomorrow night. It's all happening. And of course, Leeds United v Fulham, live commentary on Radio Yorkshire tomorrow night with Mark Wilson and Robbie Blake. See you next week, guys.
Yes.